Well, I invite you to open your Bibles this morning to Proverbs chapter 24. Proverbs chapter 24. You know, one of the favorite things we do at our house, and I imagine some of you do the same, is we watch a lot of HGTV, a lot of shows about building or remodeling homes. And so I get stuck on that quite often. And one of the conversations we have as we're watching this, and do y'all watch those? All right, good. Okay. I thought I knew you. But one of the things we talk about is like, hey, what would be in our house? I mean, if we're doing this, we're remodeling, what are some things that, hey, we want this in our house? It's just non-negotiable. If we're going to do it, we got to do this. Matter of fact, I was watching one the other day, and you know how this one show, they pick out three houses, and they choose the one they're going to buy, and they were discussing it, and one of the things that the guy said is, he's like, well, hey, we can't buy that house, $750,000, because it doesn't have a farmhouse kitchen sink in it. I'm thinking, just change the sink out. I mean, he was really hung up. He could not buy a house without a farmhouse kitchen sink. And so I don't know what your non-negotiable is. Maybe it's a wraparound porch. Maybe it's, we've talked about cabinets, kitchen cabinets that have drawers that pull out, you know, all these different things, the colors that you want. Well, you probably had that idea about your physical home. Let me ask you, what are some non-negotiables in your actual home or your actual family? You ever made a list like, hey man, these are things that are going to mark us. These are non-negotiables. These have to take place in our family. We want them to be a part of our family. Whatever your family looks like, you're part of some family. What do you want to be a part of that? Well, that's what we're talking about today. And Proverbs chapter 24 gets us started because we've been talking about wisdom and we realize that wisdom is seeing life from God's viewpoint. And so God has a viewpoint about the family. And so in Proverbs chapter 24, verse 3, it says, by wisdom, a house is built, and through understanding, it is established. Through knowledge, its rooms are filled with rare and beautiful treasures. So he simply says, hey, one of the things that you want to build your house, and we're going to talk about what those non-negotiables are, but before you get there, he says, by wisdom, in other words, by God's viewpoint, a house is built. So whatever you're going to put in there, you better start with his viewpoint. He says, by wisdom a house is built, and through understanding, that means responding to what you see with that insight. And so, hey, you understand, hey, this is what God wants for our family. This is what he wants for me as a husband, dad, mother, wife, child, grandparent, whatever it looks like. Hey, this is what God wants. And so insight and understanding says, I'm going to respond to that. And then it says, through understanding, actually doing this, it says it is established. What does that mean, you think? Well, in the Hebrew, it means to set in order something that is cluttered. So today, maybe your family's in a little chaos. Do you like some of the words of the song? Some are crazy, some are amazing, okay? Right? No need to point. Because the line right before that is, you didn't choose them and you can't lose them. But you can have them established. And so you can set things in order. It actually means to lean something upright that had fallen over. And so he says, if you want your family to be upright, if you want it to really be set in order, he says it starts with wisdom, it starts with understanding, putting those things in action. And then it says this, I love this, when you're thinking about how to decorate your house. It says its rooms are filled with rare and beautiful treasures. So your house, your home, your family, whatever it looks like, rare and beautiful treasures. Now, a lot of people think, well, is that he talking about financial things? I don't think he is. I think it's symbolic. I think he's talking about things you can't buy. Maybe he's talking about harmony at your house. Maybe he's talking about meaningful relationships. Maybe he's talking about peace. Maybe he's talking about purpose. Things you can't buy, beautiful and rare treasures. You can fill it with all kind of furnishings. But he says, listen, when you see things from God's viewpoint, and with that viewpoint, understanding and insight, you put it into action, your house is set up the way God wants it. And when it's set up the way God wants it, he fills it with things that you want. Because whatever your family looks like today, that's what you want. We went around the room, whether you believe in God or not today, you're looking for some purpose, you're looking for significance, you're looking for peace, you're looking for purpose, you're looking for harmony, you're looking for relationships that impact you. And God says, by wisdom it starts. And so what are you going to put in it? When you look from his viewpoint, what do you put in it? Well, as I've told you before in this book of Proverbs study, there's going to be a lot of Proverbs that flash on the screen, and I'm not going to turn around and read them. And so I'm going to read them out of my Bible, and you may want to just write down the references. But one of the things we understand about this is when you look at the family, your family, my family, your home, my home, from God's viewpoint, one of the foundation things, and it's amazing we have to have this, is you have to have the mentality that this is good. This is good. God's family is under attack. It's under attack. And whether you realize it or not, your family's under attack. God's design for the family is under attack. Its purpose is under attack. How it operates is under attack. But I think it's very important, if you're not careful, you can begin to have a negative attitude toward the family. Matter of fact, if you don't have a negative attitude that comes from the outside, your own experience in a family, because some are crazy, can make you have a negative attitude toward the family. But I'm going to tell you, regardless of how I feel about it, regardless of my experience, and regardless of your experience, the family from God's viewpoint is good. It is good. And you need to say that over and over again in your house. You need to say it to your kids. You need to say it to yourself, because when you speak, the first person that hears it is you. Because we read in Proverbs 18 and verse 22, listen to this. He's just talking about the family. This is God's viewpoint on the family. It says, he who finds a wife finds what is what? Good. And receives favor from the Lord. Back up one chapter, verse 6, it says, I love this, you grandparents listening. Children's children are crowned to the aged. All of you who said, listen, if I knew grandchildren were this much fun, I'd have had them first. That's almost biblical. Almost. Children's children are crowned to the aged, and parents, listen, kids, are the pride of their children. You're going, wow. What he's basically saying, and we could go on and on with verses, is he's simply saying, this family, my idea, is good. You see, there's three things that God ordained. He ordained the family, he ordained the church, he ordained the government. And what he wants to tell you is, regardless of what your experience is and what's going on around you or even in your experience, I ordained what was good. And so one of the things I think we ought to think about is to think about, as one of these verses tell us, there's three generations, grandparents, parents, and children. Think about how you can honor your grandparents today. All you grandkids, think about how you can honor your grandparents today. You ought to think about how you can honor your parents today if they're alive. And it'll look different for different people, depending on what season of life in, how old you are. And then parents and grandparents, you ought to think today how you can honor your children and grandchildren. Why? Because this is his idea and it's good. But we don't wake up with that mentality many times. You know, you even read over in Proverbs 31, a familiar proverb to many, is talking about a wife and a mother, and it says, her children arise and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. And many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. But you say, that's a whole other sermon there. But look at the mindset. Husband cheering on the wife, children cheering on the mother, honoring her. See, one of the things I think that God is trying to teach us in his word with the family is this is not something to survive. Now, I'm not oblivious, and I don't want to pass over. I know some of you are in some very difficult situations. But that doesn't change the family that God had in mind, that it's not something to survive. It's something to thrive. It's good. It's good. And so you got to hold on to that over and over again to get up with that mentality. So if you're building this house today, and you got, these are non-negotiable, you got to have a non-negotiable, I'm going to get up with the mindset that this is good. The second is this, there's got to be the non-negotiable. If we're going to build this house, it's going to be peaceful. It's going to be peaceful. Proverbs 15, well, this will get real pointed here. It says, better a little with the fear of the Lord than great wealth with turmoil. Because the world's going to tell you what you need is a little bit more and it'll be better. Some of you dads, some of you moms, you're chasing the American dream or some dream, something, and you're just trying. What do you say? I'm just trying to make it better for my kids. is chase on. And he says, better a little with the fear of the Lord than great wealth with turmoil. Better a small serving of vegetables with love than a fattened calf with hatred. Nothing wrong with fat calves. There's not anything wrong with a whole bunch. But he says, listen, if that's going to create something other than peace in your home, you don't want that. There's a lot of absentee dads. There's a lot of absentee moms. There's a lot of chaos in families because we're chasing what is next. He goes on in Proverbs 17, verse 1, better a dry crust with peace and quiet than a house full of feasting with strife. And if you wouldn't get in trouble, you'd have said, that's right. He goes on in Proverbs 14, verse 26, it says, whoever fears the Lord... In other words, whoever recognizes that God is God and I'm not, whoever fears the Lord has a secure fortress, and for their children, it will be a refuge. And what he's trying to tell us is, listen, man, in this world that is chaotic, this world that is a little crazy, he says, one of the things you want to create in your house is a peaceful place. I say when I deal with young people for years and years and years, one of the things I've said over and over again, you never know what they go home to. But he says, for you, mom and dad, if you create a peaceful place, it is a secure fortress from what? Everything. And it is a refuge. A refuge is a quiet place of protection for your children. You can't protect them from what's out there. You can prepare them. But what you want to do is you want to prepare a place they always want to come home to. Some of you are looking for a purpose today? Say, hey, I want my house to be a house my kids want to come home to one day when they don't have to. That won't happen if your house is not a peaceful place. It won't happen. That's why it says, hey, by wisdom a house is built. From God's viewpoint, it is built. And part of it is answering the question, who calls the shots? I talk with people a lot of times and they're kind of, you know, and moms and dads and husbands and wives, you know, they're kind of at each other. And usually my first question is, I'll say, hey, man, are you a born-again believer in Jesus Christ? Yes. Okay. Now look over on this side. Are you a born-again believer in Jesus Christ? Yes. Okay, so the Holy Spirit lives in you, both. And he doesn't have a problem getting along with himself. We may be schizophrenic, but he's not. So that goes back to somebody else is calling the shots in your life if there's not peace at your home. Because God has no problem getting along with himself. And so you get up and go, listen, I want to create that secure place, that refuge. If I don't have kids, I want to create it for my wife. I want to create it for my husband. You grandparents ought to create it for your grandkids because sometimes they don't have another option but your house. But you understand the non-negotiable, it's peaceful. And on this Father's Day, I would say to dads, take the responsibility to be the thermostat in your house. And some of you are going, my dad has the thermostat locked down. Nobody can touch it. You know, it's like it's a war. And I'm not talking about that thermostat. You be the thermostat. You set the temperature for peace. And everybody else in the house will be a thermometer to reflect it. You're saying, listen, man, when that song talked about crazy, I'm married to crazy. I know. Here's what I would challenge you to do, whether you're a husband or wife, if you need to be the thermostat today, you be the thermostat and you let God deal with him. You let God deal with her. You don't really have another choice. But you just say, I'm going to be the thermostat. I am going to set the temperature at peace. That's what I'm going to do. It's non-negotiable. Another thing that's non-negotiable is not only is it good, not only is it peaceful, but I want the house to be joyful. This is not audience participation time, but if I was to ask you, does joy mark your house? Well, how would you respond? Now, the thing is you go, joyful about what? Some of you are joyful they're not in the house anymore. That's not what I'm talking about. But joyful about what? Well, in Proverbs 23, it says, in verse 15, he says, my son, parents, kids, if your heart is wise, then my heart will be glad indeed. My inmost being will rejoice when your lips speak what is right. Proverbs 23, verse 24 says, the father of a righteous child has great joy. A man who fathers a wise son rejoices in him. May your father and mother rejoice. May she who gave you birth be joyful. So one of the things you get up as a parent, if you got kids or if you're married and you got a wife, is listen, I want my home to be marked by joy. About what? Well, he says, we're going to be joyful about a righteous child and a wise son, a wise heart, and truthful lips and words. The question is, what are you pursuing right now that you think is going to bring you joy? See, as a parent, if you got kids, you have to stop and go, I need to make very clear, the thing I want most from my kids is for you to have a wise heart, truthful words, for you to be righteous, and to walk in wisdom. That's what he says. Because right now they think you just want them to make the team. You just want them to be successful at school. You want them to get a job. You want them to graduate. You want them to be obedient. Now you make it very clear what I want for you and what I'm pursuing for you and what we will teach and what we will talk about and what we will direct you for is for you to have a wise heart to see life from God's viewpoint, for you to speak truth, his wisdom, for you to be right, that means your actions follow the viewpoint, and you walk in the way of wisdom. You just over and over again to go, listen, that's what's going to bring us joy. And so as parents, you just say that over and over again. I don't care how old they are. And here's what I would tell you. For those of you who have younger children, listen. Nothing will matter if that doesn't happen in their life. When you put your head on the pillow, listen to me, nothing will matter. I don't care how successful they are. I don't care what job they have. I don't know how much money they have, what position they have, what power and influence. If you can't, in your head, lay down at night and go, my son walks with Jesus. My son has a wise heart. My son is living for God. My son is using his gift to serve others for the glory of God. Nothing will matter. And there's some people who've got kids that are far down the road than you and are going, that's right. That's right. Because right now you're just trying to get them through school and you're trying to get them on the team. You're trying to get them to do this. And I'm telling you, one day when you put your head on the pillow and they're out of your house and their taillights have gone over the hill, nothing will matter. But that. They walk with Jesus. And so you tell them that. And some of you got older kids and they're walking with Jesus. You ought to tell them, I'm so proud of you. Not about their money, not about their position, not about their jobs. You're proud they're walking with Jesus. That's all that matters. Some of you grandparents ought to chime in for those grandkids that are walking with Jesus and living for him. And you ought to tell those younger ones, listen, I'm praying that you have a wise heart. I'm praying that your lips speak the truth of God's words. I'm praying that you have a heart of wisdom. Over and over again. To say this is non-negotiable. This is good. This is peaceful. This is joyful. But also, non-negotiable for all your parents and grandparents is that the house, the home, will be purposeful as well. There's an end to all this. That your house would be a training center and a launching pad for the next generation. A few years ago, I was blessed to go with the Air Force to Cape Canaveral. I flew down there on an Air Force plane, and they were trying to show us some things that the Air Force does with NASA, and so we were touring Cape Canaveral, and it was interesting to look at the launch pads over the decades. And we were sitting there on the launch pads from the 50s and 60s and 70s when they were, y'all remember when they used to send the chimpanzees up in those days? You can't do that now. But anyway, it was amazing. There's just this little block pad, and literally the control tower was from here to the wall. You know, now it's 2 miles away. And I was walking around and looking at these launch pads from the 50s and 60s and 70s and thought, amazing things started here. Amazing things started here. I'm going to tell you what, amazing things start in your house. When your house is purposeful to be a launching pad for your children and for your grandchildren. You see, the writer of Proverbs tells us in Proverbs chapter 1 this truth. He says, "Listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching." Chapter 20, verse 7 says, "The righteous lead blameless lives. Blessed are their children after them." So look at this. He's talking about parents who do what? Who are teaching their children. He's talking about parents that model for the children. The righteous lead blameless lives, and blessed are their children after them. What he's telling us is, listen, you need to teach, model, and encourage God's word. You need to have a purpose, and it is to do that. To teach, model, and encourage the word. To say to your children, listen, I want you to excel in music. I want you to excel in sports. I want you to excel in cheerleading. I want you to excel at school. But more than anything, I want you to excel in knowing and doing the word of God. And if they need to know what that is, they have you. To teach, to model, and to encourage the word of God. Now, I've come up with 4 C's for parenting that helped me. And you say, I don't alliterate. I'm a preacher. I don't alliterate much, but this is something I'm alliterating. And it's because I can remember it. You know how you do that? Parents, grandparents? Anybody that's got influence over a kid? 4 C's is that your teaching, modeling, and encouraging should be congruent. I'll come back to it. Creative, courageous, and consistent. Congruent, creative, courageous, and consistent. Let me explain. Your teaching, modeling, and encouraging ought to be congruent. What does that mean? It means to be in harmony with something. What you do in your home must be in harmony with what God says. And so you're just simply going, listen, I want everything we do to be in harmony with what God does and what he says. And so whatever God thinks about, that's what we're going to teach. That's what we're going to model. That's what we're going to encourage. And then we're going to do it his way. Do you know that when God put everything together in Genesis, there was lots of responsibility and lots of freedom? You want to know how you ought to parent? How you ought to grandparent? Lots of responsibility and lots of freedom. You say, Jeff, I don't know if I read that in a book. Start in Genesis 1. That's how God created everything. And if God is creating order that way, then we ought to function from that standpoint. Now, there's a lot that goes on there. But when God had everything just the way he wanted it, and he was trying to guide his people, he had lots of responsibility and lots of freedom. Within that responsibility were lots of expectations. But only one rule. And what happens is when you have lots of responsibility and lots of freedom, you have the freedom to live up to the expectations or not. And when you don't live up to the expectations, guess what? There is a loss of freedom. It's called punishment. And so some of you are trying to figure out this parenting thing, grandparenting thing. I would say start with God in the way he does it. One of the greatest parenting principles I've ever learned, and it's a biblical basis mentality, is this. If you don't get anything else, get this. B doesn't happen until A happens. B doesn't happen until A happens. You say, what does that apply to? Everything. Everything. Your kid wants a cell phone? Okay. That'll happen when A happens. What's A? You get to make that up. But that's the way God works. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, and all your ways submit to him, and he will," what? "Direct your paths." B is direct your paths. When does B happen? When you submit. A happens. Direction does not come for submission. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Wisdom is what? B. What happens before B? Fear of the Lord. God will be God. And when God is God in your life, you begin to have his viewpoint. Go through scripture and look at it that way. You're going, oh, that's how God works. Some of you are going to be in a full-fledged war in about 11 minutes with your children out in the lobby. They're going to be hanging from the lights and jumping off the top of things like they do every Sunday, and you're going to be in a war with them, and you're going to try to yell at them that nobody can see. All that can be settled with A and B, I'm telling you. You want to have a TV? You want to have a Game Boy? You want to have whatever? What is it now? What do you play? What do you play? Tell me now. Thank you. You get candy afterwards. Thank you for the rest of you hanging me out to dry. I appreciate you. Like, we don't play anything. I don't know what it is. Play. I said Game Boy. That's like from the 90s, isn't it? PlayStation. Let me move back into the 21st century here. You get the idea, right? You want a car? You want to drive? You want to go see your friends? Good. Yeah, we want you to do that. We want you to do all those things when A happens. When A happens. B never happens until A happens. In every child, you're going, I don't know if they'll get it. They'll get it. You can't miss it. Clarity is irritating. And so you got to be in harmony with what God has. Now, that will never happen until you're creative, which is the second C of parenting. Now, also in Proverbs says that folly is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod will drive it far from him. You can't just beat him. We're not recommending that. If that's what you want to do, that's fine. But I'm telling you, the older they get, that won't work. You better get creative. You say, what's creative? Well, creative is like when they go somewhere and they come back, their stuff is gone. Oh, it'll work. Meet me in the lobby. I'll tell you how it works. It works. It's creative. We go, hey, A didn't happen. You're not playing in your baseball game this afternoon. Oh, well, the team depends on him. The Yankees suspend people and make it. Your kid's team will be all right. So you're congruent. You're doing it God's way. And God is creative. And if you want to be a good parent, you're going to have to be creative. And you'll never be creative until the third C unless you're courageous. Because once you get creative and you start saying things like B won't happen until A happens, everybody understands that, and then you got to live by it. You got to live by it. And you got to be able to live by it alone when your kids' parents don't understand, and when they let those kids watch things and go places and do things. You better learn to stand alone as a parent. You better be courageous. And then the final thing is you got to be consistent. You'll need to do it today and tomorrow. And the next day and the next week, because your kids are like dogs. They can sniff out inconsistency. They'll smell it from a mile away if you're a fake. I'm telling you, man. You can tell them all day that this place is important. But you know that 70% of the people in this building, in our community, will come to a place like this 2 times a month or less. And 45% will come less than 10 times a year. You can tell them all day long it's important. You can tell them that what this place is about is important. They'll sniff it out. And so one of the things that has to be non-negotiable for you and your family is to say, hey, our family is going to be purposeful. We're a launching pad. You know, I thought about on this Father's Day. I preached my father's funeral 7 years ago. So I want all you dads, I got your attention. I want you to think your kid's going to preach your funeral one day. I got your attention now. And they're going to tell a story at your funeral about what it was like to grow up at your house. Because whether they preach your funeral or not, or they have a stage like this, they're going to tell a story. And so 7 years ago, I stood on a stage like this with lots of people, and I said, I wish everybody could have grown up at my house with my dad, but since you didn't, let me tell you what you missed. You would know 3 things. He was for you. He was proud of you, and he was available to you. And you know why he did that? Because that's what our Heavenly Father does. Your kid's going to tell a story. You don't have a choice. You do have a choice in what story they tell. Let's pray together.